بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد، to proceed, inshallah, today we will talk about love and pleasure. And that's the love of Allah and pleasure with Allah. And certainly this topic is an important topic. You don't need to emphasize the importance of the topic, because the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the prevailing emotion that you have with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regard to your relationship with Allah, which is the most important relationship that you have with anyone. And the relationship that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a mixture of emotions, and those emotions are not contradictory. So when we say fear and hope and love, they do not contradict each other, because you do fear from your father, at the same time you love your father and you hope in his reward. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, to Allah belongs the greatest parable. But this is just an example to make the idea clear, that these feelings do not contradict and they do not conflict. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the hellfire, you cannot say that I do not fear from the hellfire, because He created the hellfire for you to be afraid of it. That is His punishment. If you say to your father, you know, I don't really fear from you, I don't care what you do, I don't, you know, I have no fear from your punishment, that is impolite. And that is disrespectful. The same applies to your father buying you a gift or promising you a reward, and then you say to your father, you know what, I don't really care about that gift that you'll buy me or that reward that you promised me if I succeed in the exam. Well, that is disrespectful to your father. So certainly, the love should be the predominant feeling, but it does not negate that you still fear from Allah and you still hope in His reward and aspire to His reward, which is paradise. And when people get carried away, and usually misguidance comes from a form of extremism to the right or the left, because the path of moderation is the path of truth. So when you take any concept and you take it all the way to the left or all the way to the right, then you will have, you will deviate regarding this concept. So yes, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the predominant feeling. It is not the fear, it's not the hope that should predominate in this relationship, but it is your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet that does not negate the presence of the other feelings. And at the same time, it is important to emphasize that His love should be the predominant feeling. Imam Ibn Qudama says here, and that is the Ibn Qudama the Junior, Ahmad Ibn Qudama, in Kitab Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, in the chapter of love, he says, one should know that love for the Almighty is the highest state. It yields its root of longing for and pleasure with Him. And he also says, rightly, before it comes some other states paving the way, such as repentance, patience, and asceticism. You know, all of those stations, you move from one station to the next station. Moving from one station to the next station does not mean that you'll leave that station to the next. But when you perfect a station, you move to perfect the next. They all overlap. So there is no station for patience, and then once you've perfected this, you'll move to a different station, and so on and so forth. You will perfect one station and move on to perfecting the other station without leaving the first one. And when you are trying to perfect the first station, you are not completely out of the first one. You were in all of the stations at the same time, but you perfect them one at a time. And there are, you know, there is the stations, the station of sabr and the station of shukr, for instance. When it comes to the ni'am or the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the tests and trials of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have two different stations, the sabr and shukr, patience and gratitude. And they say that this station of shukr is higher than the station of sabr. And that would not mean that you will not have sabr. You will have sabr and you will have shukr. But you may be able to perfect the station of sabr before you can perfect the station of shukr or gratitude. Because the station of shukr or gratitude is higher. And the station of shukr and gratitude would involve that you can see the wisdom of Allah in the trials, not only the favors. And you can thank Him for His wisdom and for His mercy that came with the trial itself. And that's why the people who have insight are the people who are able to see al-minha fil-mihna, the people who are able to see al-minha, which is the gift, fil-mihna, inside al-mihna, which is the trial, the gift inside the trial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the believers in terms of their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, but those who of faith are overflowing in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrated that the Bedouin man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when will the hour be established? مَتَ السَّاعَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, وَيْحَكَ وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا, woe unto you, what have you prepared for it? Why do you ask about this? Because the Prophet always wanted us to be practical, not frivolous, not philosophical, to be practical. It doesn't matter when the hour comes. What matters is what have you prepared for the hour? Because some people keep themselves busy all the time with, you know, such thoughts and calculating when the hour comes and so on. What have you prepared for it? So be practical. And then the man said, I have not, and the man had a beautiful answer. He said, I have not prepared anything for it except the love of Allah and His Messenger. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, you will be with those whom you love. Anas ibn Malik says that the Sahaba on that day were happier than any other day in their life. The Sahaba on that day were happier than any other day in their life. Because the one thing that they were sure of, they were not sure that their deeds will save them. They were not sure that their ma'asi will not destroy them, but they were sure that they do love Allah and His Messenger. So if the Prophet ﷺ tells them that you will be with whom you love, then that made them happier than any other time in their life. Imam Ibn Qudama talks about the means to loving Allah. It is also reported that the angel of death, and he said, he gave the name of the angel of death, the common name, the popular name, which is not an authentic name. This is just a popular name that has not been authentically reported in the Quran or the Sunnah. We do not know the name of the angel of death. We just know him by the name of Malakul Maut, the angel of death, basically. So Azrael is not his name, so try to not remember it. So the angel of death visited, and that is a report that is from Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the authenticity of these reports, because no action is based on them, they do not have to be subject to the same scrutiny as other reports upon which actions are based. So in this report, the angel of death came to Ibrahim alayhi salam and to take his soul. And Ibrahim wondered alayhi salam, and he said, does a friend take the soul of his friend? Does a friend take the soul of his friend? And the angel of death said to Ibrahim, would a lover hate to return to his beloved? Would a lover hate to return to his beloved? Why would you hate to die? Well, why do you hate to die? Why would you hate to return to your beloved, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Ibrahim spontaneously said, O angel of death, take out my soul. Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu, which is Al-Hasan al-Basri, usually if they mention Al-Hasan without saying which one, then they are talking about Al-Hasan al-Basri. Al-Hasan radiallahu, may Allah bestow mercy on him, rahimahullah, said knowledge of the Almighty results in his love. And it says here, and vice versa. The vice versa is true, but this is probably not what Al-Hasan said. Al-Hasan said, man arafa rabbahu ahabbahu. Whoever knows his Lord will love him. Whoever knows his Lord will love him. Because the more recognition you have, the more love you will have. And that is unlike the creation. Because the more recognition you have, sometimes the more love you will have, the more recognition you have, the more love you have. But oftentimes, certainly there is a ceiling for all creations. There is a ceiling after which they cannot transcend. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no ceiling. The more you recognize Him, the more you love Him. For most of the creation, the more you recognize, the more recognition you have of them, the more their defects will be obvious to you or be manifest and apparent to you. Likewise, the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam results from Allah's love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and if you love someone, you would love the messengers that he sends. So he wants to tell you that the Prophet's love emanates from Allah's love. In other words, the love should be all dedicated to Allah. The source of love is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from that source you have love for all others. But it all comes from the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It all emanates from the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why would you love someone? Why do people love any beings? You love people because they are benefactors, because they do you favors. You love people because you. He says here that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody loves himself, right? Everybody loves himself. You do. Everybody does. Don't deny it. Otherwise, give me your money. So everybody loves himself, and you love yourself so much that is true, to the point where on the day of judgment you will not even pay attention to your own kid, and you will say nafsi nafsi, like, you know, I'm only concerned about myself. And yawm yafirru al-mar'u min ummihi wa abihi wa sahibatihi wa bani li kulli imri'in minhum yawma idhin sha'nun yughni. So it is the day in which everyone will run away from his brother, ummihi wa abi, his mother, his father, wa sahibatihi wa bani, his wife or spouse, and children. Everybody, at that time, there is no one that you'll be thinking about except yourself. So that shows you many things. It shows you how difficult of a day that day will be, and it shows you also how much we love ourselves, because that's the only thing we would care about at that time. So if you love yourself so much, then you have to understand that the source of your life is Allah. The source of your life is Allah. And the one who maintains your life is Allah. And this is something that people need to really understand. The source of your life that you love so much is Allah. Allah is the one who made it. Allah is the one who gave it to you. Therefore, your love for Allah should certainly be more than your love for yourself, because He is the source of your own life. And He is the one who maintains your existence. That is for sure, because all of you are sitting down now. No one is controlling his heartbeats, are you? No one is controlling his intestinal movement. No one is controlling anything. You know that, you know, each cell that you have does more, you know, operations than a factory that is built on you know, more than 500 acres. So each cell has the ability to do more complex and sophisticated operations than an enormous factory that is built on 500 acres. You're not managing any of this. You're just sitting there. So he is the maintainer of your existence, and he is the giver of eternity as well. He is the one who gives eternity. He is the source of eternity. Now, so that is one reason you should love Allah. And the other reason is that humans should love, humans do love benefactors or people who do them favors. And who did you more favors than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It says here, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نَعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you would count up the favors of Allah, never would you be able to number them or to keep count of them. So if someone came and gave you all of his property, gave you like, you know, someone told you, you know, I like you so much and I want to give you everything I have. Would you like that one or not? Would you love that one or not? He gave you all everything he has. You know, I'll give you all of my, you know, wealth, my house, my cars, my land, etc. I'll give all of that to you. And naturally you'll love that one. But would you remember at that time, or that's what you should remember at that time, that Allah is the one who created that very person who gave you everything he had. And Allah is the one who gave him the wealth that he is passing on to you. And Allah is the one who put compassion in his heart towards you. So without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of that would have happened. Because Allah is the one who created him in the first place. Allah is the one who created the wealth he had. He is the one who gave it to him. He is the one who put compassion in his heart towards you. So this person that gave you all of this, whether it's your mother, for instance, your mother lived her entire life for you, or your father worked so hard to raise you, or anyone who gave you so much in this life, are they true givers? Are they true owners? No, they're not. What are they? It's like cousin. It's like a storekeeper. Storekeeper. These are storekeepers. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created all of this in the first place, who entrusted them with all of this, and who put the compassion in their hearts towards you. So the owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you love those givers of favors and those benefactors and those who extended kindness to you throughout your life, then know that the source of all this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third reason why you should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else is, why do you love people? We may have talked about this before. Why do you love anyone, any being? Either because of their relationship with you, or because of their own virtue. Who is more intrinsically lovable than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean by intrinsically lovable, even if he does not, you know, if someone, for instance, if you hear of someone far away, you've never seen him, you've never come across him, it's far away, but he is generous and he's kind and he is virtuous in every aspect and. Will you love him or not? You do love him without seeing him, without, you know, receiving any favors from him, without being on the receiving end of any favor from that person. You will love that person just because of what you hear, because of their own attributes, And that is called intrinsically lovable. So without doing you any favor, that person deserves your love because of his own attributes. And certainly there is no one who is intrinsically lovable more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no one who has greater attributes and more complete and perfect attributes than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he goes on to talk about the attributes, the different attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and compares the attributes of knowledge, people's knowledge to Allah's knowledge, people's power to Allah's power, and so on and so forth. And then he moves on to some other topic, which is That love that you will have for Allah will be your greatest delight in this life. It will be your greatest delight in this life. Just as much as seeing Allah in the hereafter is the greatest delight, and it is more delightful than paradise itself and everything therein, the love of Allah in this life, the recognition and love of Allah in this life is your greatest delight. He says here that people should understand that this should be the greatest pursuit in this life. Your greatest pursuit is to be able to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be beloved by Him. And this is what your heart was made for. This is what your heart was made for. We all know the functions of our eyes, the functions of our ears. Everybody knows, well, you know, he has a lot of use for his hands, a lot of use for his eyes, a lot of use for his ears. But many times we ignore the organ that is most important, which is the heart. And the heart has this physical aspect of it, and it has this metaphysical aspect. And we're talking about the metaphysical aspect of the heart, where we ignore this, but it was designed to recognize Allah and to love Him and to be close to Him. And it will not be satisfied. It would have not done its function unless it had recognized Allah and loved Him, because that is what it was designed for. And if the value of knowledge, you know, the recognition, he tells you that, you know, your greatest pursuit should be recognition of Allah, which will lead you to loving Him. If the value of knowledge is measured by the object of that knowledge, or the subject matter of that knowledge, right? There is mawdu' al-ilm, the subject matter of the knowledge. If the value of the knowledge is measured by the subject matter of that knowledge, what could be more valuable than the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He tells you that it is the greatest pleasure, it is the greatest delight to be able to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be able to love Him. And maybe it is suitable now to talk about the different types of pleasures. Pleasures. You have pleasures that are sensory, sensual, and pleasures that are non-sensory, that are called propositional. The pleasures that are sensory, al-hissiyya, lazzat al-hissiyya. And the pleasures, al-ma'nawiyya, propositional, and non-sensory. The pleasures that are sensory pleasures, are divided into different types, right? Now you have the so-called aesthetic pleasure, which is the pleasure in seeing like beautiful roses or mountains and so on. If you look at a beautiful mountain, that is a pleasure. It is perceptible by the senses. It is perceptible by vision. Yet it is not bodily, carnal, the so-called hedonic pleasure. Not all bodily or carnal pleasures are condemned. They would be hedonic, or they would deserve the name hedonic pleasures if you have no control over them. If you have no control over them, they would be considered hedonic pleasures. Like gluttony, for instance, is a defect. But if you eat within reason, then that eating to have pleasure in the food that you eat, that is not hedonic. That's not gluttony. And that is not excessiveness. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. But if you eat excessively, that is when you have transgressed, and that is when you move that pleasure from something that is praiseworthy to something that is blameworthy. So that it is important that we do not be excessive in our understanding of this issue. Because in the Christian tradition, usually they try to look down at the body, because they try to make this conflict, constant conflict between the body and the soul. And they try to divide the human being into two parts that are in this harmony. And our vision is different. We do not look down or despise the body. The body and the soul were both created by Allah for a function. And if the body does not transgress, then the body is not despised, is not, and the pleasures of the body also are not despised and are not to be looked down at. So don't always link bodily pleasures to evil or to badness, because there is no badness in bodily pleasures that are controlled. So these are the sensory pleasures. There are different types of sensory pleasures. But certainly people who have greater aspirations are people who take more pleasure in the proposition of pleasures versus the sensory pleasures. Right? Despite the fact that we are not condemning the sensory pleasures, it is okay to like the food and to enjoy the taste of the good food. It is okay to like conjugal relations, you know, marital relations. It is okay to like all of that. It is okay to that's all fine, as long as you are not excessive, and as long as all of this is purposeful. Now, despite that it is okay for all people, including the highest of all people, the prophets and messengers, most of them, 99% of them, or I don't know, I'm just saying the 99%, but the vast majority of the prophets and messengers were married, and they ate and they drank and they lived normal lives. Ibrahim, Nur, Adam, Musa, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for even for the greatest people, that is all fine, but certainly people of higher aspirations are people who take more pleasure in the propositional pleasures, which are the non-sensory pleasures. And the propositional pleasures would be like what? The propositional pleasures would be pleasures, emotional pleasures, and pleasures of accomplishment. Emotional pleasures and pleasures of accomplishment. Emotional pleasures would be like what? Like the mother's pleasure in seeing her son come back for a visit after, you know, he's been out or he's been away for many years. There is nothing sensory about this, right? But it's a huge pleasure. It's enormous pleasure. For the mother, this is better than eating and drinking for years. So that is an emotional pleasure. And you have the pleasures of accomplishment. And that's like pleasure in succeeding, pleasure in having authority, pleasure in having celebrity, and so on and so forth. And these are called pleasures of accomplishment. And people of higher aspirations usually enjoy those more than the sensory pleasures. So they can suffer they can starve and suffer for years and to succeed in a mission that they want to accomplish. And those are the people of higher aspirations. So success, authority, celebrity, and so on and so forth. Now, if you compare all of those pleasures to the pleasure of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of those pleasures are transient, right? The end. Even the pleasure of accomplishment, any pleasure will end. Because the accomplishments will end, you will end, everything will end. So all of these pleasures are transient. Whereas the pleasure of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transcends this life, does not end with this life. The more you enjoy your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, the closer you will be to Him, and the higher in ranking and station you'll be in the hereafter, in the life of eternity. So the issue of eternity is important. The issue of worries and anxieties, because the other pleasures are pleasures that are mixed with worries and anxieties, aren't they? They can't be they can't be separated from anxieties and worries and from pain and suffering, because earning a living to be able to buy food and so on and so forth and get married, it does have, it's a burden, it's a responsibility. It leads to anxiety and it leads to worries and anxieties and so on and so forth. And the same applies to all of those pleasures. And the higher you get, the more burdensome they become. So the pleasure of celebrity and authority and so on, success, that, you know, people, you know, spend 10 hours in the lab or 15 hours in the lab every day so that after 5 or 6 years they can succeed in discovering something, or they can finish a study and publish it. And they take so much pleasure in publishing that study, which is not a bad idea. This is not bad. But I'm saying that it is mixed with anxiety and worry. It is mixed with burden. And also it is mixed with competition. Competition. Those pleasures, there is competition involved here. There is sort of like crowdedness at those sought after pleasures. Even people compete for the love of their parents, because the love of their parents is not unlimited. If my parents love me more, that means they are loving my sibling less than me, right? It is limited. It is not infinite. So there is crowdedness, you know, in this area that you are trying to get into or get to, it is crowded. And you'll be competing, and you will be pushing, trying to push and be getting pushed and so on and so forth. But when it comes to, you know, the pleasure in recognizing Allah and loving Allah, it is so vast that there is no crowdedness whatsoever. It is so vast that there will never be crowdedness in seeking His pleasure. Inshallah, I think that we should stop now, and then when we come back, we will cover the rest of this, which has to do with the means of enhancing your love for the Almighty and disparity among people in with regard to their love for Allah.